This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. As a shamanic practitioner, I am continuously looking at the work of other shamans, and some of them I hold in the highest regard. Actually, let me back up. I hold them all in the highest regard, especially when they come from a place of really empowering and helping other souls to heal through integrity and honesty. And my guest today, Carl Greer, is one of those people. He has recently launched a new book called Change the Story of Your Health, using shamanic and, I'm going to get this word wrong, Jungian techniques for healing. Obviously, Carl's a shaman. He's also a psychologist and actually has his PhD in psychology, clinical psychology. So he has brought together some of the best tools to help us heal. In the first part of his book, The Acknowledgements, the first paragraph really set with me. As I get older, like many of my peers, I'm spending more time dealing with health issues, with an ever-increasing number of health experts offering advice and more specialists, procedures, medications, and treatments becoming available every day. Making choices about health can feel overwhelming. What we're going to talk about today is how to use these techniques in Carl's book to maybe not make them seem so overwhelming and tap into a new way of connecting with your own source of information to help you heal. So with that said, welcome to Soulful Living, Carl.
Nice to be here, Terry. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so can you pronounce Jungian for me, or did I say that right?
You just said it right, Jungian.
Yay! You know, every time I look at that word in my lifetime, I always have to take a breath and figure out if I'm pronouncing it properly. So thank you. And let's jump right in. Let's give the listeners, first of all, a little bit of your background.
Well, I was a teacher for a while at Columbia University in New York City. Then I was a businessman and still do some of that kind of work. But for the last 30 years, I've been involved in various kinds of healing as a clinical psychologist, as a Jungian analyst, and as a shamanic practitioner. And I also, at this stage in my life, I'm involved in a number of philanthropic activities. But I've been called within myself to write the two books that I've written in the last few years, where the goal is to help people bring their spiritual practices into useful everyday life applications. And for those who haven't had much experience with spiritual practices, to suggest some that I found myself to be helpful.
I really appreciate that. I appreciate the wisdom in your book. Your first book was Change Your Story, Change Your Life. Of course, the second title, Change Your Story, Change Your Health. And like you, I mean, I find myself at a place where I'm aging. I started taking yoga teacher training, having not done yoga really in my life until May. And yesterday, one of the teachers said that, you know, as you age, we lose so many of the foundational pieces in our life that we used to have. And as I'm reading your book, I'm realizing that there's such a huge connection here with shamanic work and yoga, being able to become in line with yourself. But throughout your book, you share stories of people that have used the shamanic wisdom and dialoguing to really change their lives. And how did you bring the two of them together?
Well, these were the stuff I write about is based completely on my own personal experiences. mean, I've had very good teachers, but I've also had many experiences myself in these unconscious places that I write about. And I think there's an inner ability for us to heal more than we think. And that involves, for me, words like going into places we're normally not conscious of within ourselves. And then in the shamanic worldview, going into transpersonal realms that who knows where these realms are, but they're energetic places that may be inside of us, but also may be outside of us. And I talk about how we can work with those places to get information and energy for healing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I love about shamanic work is that it's really that path of direct revelation. So as you travel through these realms and these experiences, this is information that's more directly pertaining to the story of your life, right?
Yeah, yes, it is. And you said it well in that as opposed to somebody else telling you these ideas, or you're reading about them or writing about them, you're actually experiencing things. And then you learn to judge whether or not the experiences are valid or useful. But it's you with you. And I think that's very empowering. And so I have a lot of practices that give people experiences, and then they can see how they apply to their health story as it is right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things that you talk about or throughout the book is dialoguing. That was new to me. As a person who practices shamanic journeying, I had never really taken it the step further afterwards and looked at it from that perspective. Can you explain that a little bit here?
Yeah, the notion is that we are all very complicated people with many parts. And those parts reveal themselves to us sometimes in dreams, sometimes in synchronistic or events that seem almost paranormal that we encounter in our lives, or doing shamanic work and shamanic journeys, or in nature. And we may get an image, or a dream may have a symbol. We may have a physical symptom. And I'm suggesting that each of these things, these images, these symbols, these symptoms, have a wisdom, have information for us. Mm-hmm. And I have a process whereby we can have a conversation with them to see what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And while initially to do that is very awkward for people because it seems like they're making it up, or they're, you know, they don't really feel there's an other to talk to.
Right.
In every case where people have done that over any kind of period of time, it's been amazing to me what kind of very useful information they've gotten. And mm-hmm. It's a practice that can be learned, very, very useful in the context of health. You really can't find out a lot about having a conversation with your symptom or with your inner healer. I would say it's an embodiment of your immune system, where you can ask questions like, you know, why are you here? Why do I have this pain in my shoulder? What can you tell me? Is there anything I need to know more than just what's on the surface? What can I do for you, this symptom? What do you want from me? And so on and so forth. So you have a conversation that is going back and forth between the other, the symptom, the symbol in the dream, the thing you encountered on your shamanic journey, and your ego consciousness. At the end of the day, your ego consciousness is going to have to make decisions in the daily activities. Are you going to do anything different as a result of these conversations? Are you going to relax more? You're going to eat differently. You can exercise more. You're going to change your schedule to somehow make it more healthy. So it's all, in my mind, Terry, directed towards how can you make changes in your everyday life that you wouldn't have made had you not done these things.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So I practice the shamanic journey on a regular basis. And generally, when I go into journey, I pay attention to the metaphors and the symbols that show up. And within the confines of that journey, I will ask questions. And I have not really sat down and specifically, for example, I have a hip issue, right? From overextending in my new practice of yoga. And I mean, this conversation has really inspired me to go in and not just journey for healing, but to take it even further and really give myself some time to sit with the energy of the pain and ask those questions that you've suggested instead of just, you know, going through my journey, taking my notes and moving on, but really sitting with it and asking those questions. I love that, and I appreciate that so much.
And when you're just even meditating on it, you can think about just the words that you use to describe your journey and your life. And I mean, it's easy to make things into things that aren't there. But for example, when you said overextended, there was some energy around that. And,
yeah.
You know, as a psychologist, one could ask the question, are there other areas in your life where you feel overextended?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if that's so, then you can play with that. I mean, nothing's determinative. It's all kind of play to get information. And what does that have to do with your decision to be into yoga? What does that have to do with the fact that your hip is sore and so on and so forth? So this is not super complicated work, but it takes a certain discipline to stick with it, to just keep asking yourselves these kinds of questions that come up as you do the work. And then at the end of the day, are you willing or wanting to make changes so that you feel that you're on a better path towards health than you would have been had you not done the work? And I believe, I'm 77, that for me to be aware of these practices and to do them, it's going to, I feel better, I believe, than I would have had I not done them.
Absolutely. And I had that conversation with somebody this morning about that where we're at. And let me just say, I would never have guessed you're 77. I see your images on, and your, some of the videos that you've been in, and amazing. So I hope that I look that well in 20 years and that I'm showing up in the world that well. So thank you. I'm offering you a deep bow.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. So welcome. But one of the things that I want to go back to is asking that, you know, you mentioned kind of what do I need to do? So what do I need to do to, you know, release whatever's going on here? Or what do I need to learn from this? You know, how do I incorporate that into my life? As you said, even with me, you know, where are areas that I'm overextended? What can I do to shift this? And what I love about that is that it goes back to your own path of direct revelation. This is information for you. It's not somebody telling you that, hey, this is what you have to do, or this is what science says about that, or, you know, this is the best nutritional program to honor your body. When
Absolutely.
In essence, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, you're prescribing to yourself. You're diagnosing for yourself. You're giving yourself the treatment plan, and in some cases, I have some journeys that you're getting a prognosis. You know, I have an upper world journey that, you know, you go out a number of years and see if you don't make any changes, what it's going to look like.
What's going to happen?
But it's you with you, and that's I think so important.
Mm-hmm. And it's so different than the. Traditional forms of meditation that most people are aware of, although more and more are becoming open to the shamanic practices, meditation in general is becoming silent, you know, having one focal point and trying to erase that monkey mind. And when I talk about the shamanic journey, it's almost like, no, I'm embracing that monkey mind, right? I'm embracing the visions that appear in front of me so that I can figure out how I'm going to move through my life here in this reality.
Well, yes, but it's a little like in you know, different shamanic traditions call in the sacred directions in different ways. But in one of the traditions that I'm a part of in the north, we honor the energy of the hummingbird. And one of the things that I say to myself is help me to learn to be appropriately quiet in the midst of my busyness, but also be appropriately busy in the midst of my quietness. And, and so, you know, when you're meditating, you know, when do you want to have that calm mind? And that's very important to bring to yourself, because just to be in that state is healing. It's been shown that one goes from the sympathetic nervous system to the parasympathetic nervous system, where the immune system does better. But as you said also, but you want to spend some time working with these images to see what information and energy they have for you. So it's a paradox, Terry, you know, in a way. You have to know when to be still and when to be appropriately active.
Right. Well, and that is so true. You know, I do practice silent meditations as well, but even within the whole perspective of the shamanic journey experience, you can afford yourself that opportunity for stillness. And I love that you said that the tradition that you practice, because there are many different practices of shamanic work, as it is work that has been studied and practiced for eons. You know, I tell people shamans have probably been around since the dawn of time.
Yes.
And every culture has them.
Yes, and they recognize, shamans do, as do Jungians, that there are unconscious things that influence us. You know, Jungians talk about the collective unconscious.
Yes.
This would be akin to the shamans talking about the matrix, or this the source of which we're all a part. You know, hence we talk about the one and the many, and the many and the one, the place from which we all came, which we all contain that essence. And so, you know, the one is in the many, but also the many is in the one, because we all came from this place before the Big Bang, however one thinks about that. And what does that mean in terms of our everyday life? It means that we're part of a bigger picture than sometimes we think, that we have to ask ourselves the question, where were we before we were here in this existence? Why are we here? Who are we? What are we? And where will we be when we're no longer in these bodies? Now, you know, there's no easy answers to that, but there's, I think, value in thinking about that, because it relativizes our time in this life. It relativizes our health story and how we think about things.
So you, in the book, you talk about the inner healer that we all have. What does that mean? And is that, we can access that through shamanic journey and dialoguing, but what does that mean to you?
It means that besides words like you have an immune system and it's being compromised, or certain neurotransmitters are there, and certain hormonal things are happening, all of which are true at one level, we also can kind of think about that as some energy that has wisdom for us that lives within us. And so I can try to engage that. Now, it may be engaged in my own mind in a certain way. I might visualize it one way one day, another way another day. But it has, I have the ability to have a conversation with it, to ask it, what do I need to do to become healthier? What do I need to do in the context of a particular health issue to deal with it better? And it's amazing, again, as to what these wise parts of ourselves can tell us, Terry, when we honor them and respectfully have a conversation with them.
Well, and, you know, a lot of times people don't take their health seriously until there's a crisis. So I'm thinking two things with the book here as I go through it myself, is that this is a tool that you can use before you're in crisis, right? That you can
Absolutely.
Help to support your overall well-being now before you're in crisis. And
yes.
If we are in a crisis, how can we use it?
Yes, I mean, it helps us to get an understanding as to what we might do in dealing with an acute situation or a chronic illness. You know, somebody may have fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome or diabetes or cancer. And what does one do given those circumstances, to be healthier. And doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be cured, but you can somehow live a richer life than you could had you not done the work, given the fact that you have one of these conditions.
And be able to really go in deeper and work with it. So as I'm thinking about, you know, wrapping up here, what are some of the strongest messages that you would encourage people to look at while they're jumping into the book?
I would say a prescription that I find very, very powerful is spend time in nature. Just go out there and start to believe and feel that nature is observing us just as we observe it, that it can be interactive with us. And there's lots of evidence, Terry, that being in nature is very healing. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, you know, a takeaway would be spend time in nature and work with the elements of nature, water, air, fire, earth. Find places where you just feel good being there. It's very healthy. And if we had more time, I'd talk about some of the science behind that. The other thing I would say, be aware of your inner life. Your inner life, as revealed in shamanic journeys and dreams and so forth, has relevance to your conscious life. And if worked with respect and gratitude and appropriately, can help you become healthier. And I talk about such ways to do that in my book.
Well, and your website is beautiful. So listeners, if you've been with us or you're just tuning in, you can find all of Carl's information here on the Soulful Living page at Empower Radio. His website is carlgreer.com. And as I looked at it, of course, the first one that jumped up to me was really about nature and the healing messages that you get from nature. He has some beautiful blog topics, not just on the book. It's really about incorporating things into your life. And one of the things that I'd like to touch on really quick is habits that aren't working. That was a blog topic that I really found to be deep. And you popped that out at the beginning of the new year. And you talked a little bit about changing old habits. Can you talk about that quickly?
Well, that's obviously a big topic. But what one way to start would be, what's the payoff for doing what you're doing? And what are you gaining from it? And what's the cost? And a lot of times we buy into the idea that, you know, I'm getting, it's feeling good in the moment, but we're not necessarily given enough credence to the costs of doing it long term. And so I suggest make changes at the margin. You don't have to do it cold turkey in every case. Sometimes that's required. But make a little change here, a little change there. And I'm a believer in the fact that little changes can mount up to big changes over time if we're sincere and disciplined in making the little changes.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? I'm one of the ones on the opposite end of that spectrum. I tend to, if I'm going to make a change, I'm going to go big and I'm going to do it fast.
Yep.
But I do preach to people that it's also very good to take your time. You know, you have to really do what works for you. And the teachings in your book, again, going back to the process of the shamanic journey, changing your story of your health, really changing the story of your life, you know, using these techniques can help you get clear on what's going to work best for you when you want to change
your life. And why you're doing what you're doing.
Exactly. Why you're doing what you're doing. Well, Carl, I give you a deep bow for being here with me today. And yeah, we could probably have turned this conversation into an hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe longer. Is there anything that you want the listeners to know? Do you have any workshops that you offer, provide, any online stuff?
I don't have any workshops right now, and I have blogs periodically on my website. If you're interested, you could sign up, give your email, and we'll send you the blogs. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, and I just would want listeners to start to believe that we have more capacity for self-healing than we think, and that it's possible to access it.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today. And we're going to have to do this again.
I would look forward to that. And I enjoyed the conversation, Terry. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.